This episode of The Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Do you want liberty in your lifetime? The Free State Project is our best chance. We are people who know that liberty will not be achieved by more of the same tactics and are committed to a strategy that will work. Check us out on the web at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
This is The Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, it's great to have as our guest this morning, Mr. Doug French. Doug is the Executive Vice President of the Mises Institute. Take a look at his archive on lourockwell.com, also on mises.org. And Doug, more to the point for today's show, has got many years of experience as an executive in the banking industry. So, Doug, what the heck is happening to banking? I mean, now they're talking about, you know, TARP 2 and I guess TARP 28 or something at some point. But it doesn't seem to be working even from the government's and the Keynesian's own standpoint. What's going on?
Yeah, I think there may be more TARPs than Rocky episodes, as it turns out. But what's happening to the banking industry is really what's been happening to the banking industry for the last 2 to 3 years, where you have a meltdown in asset prices, which is affecting balance sheets, capital ratios, and the government has to come in and rescue these guys.
Well, can the government rescue these guys? Of course, now they're talking about, and certainly in England, and I guess here too, about nationalizing the banks. And as somebody said on NPR, National Socialist Radio this morning, this is the only way to bring private capital back into the banking industry is to nationalize the banks.
Well, I think it's the whole reason that nationalizing is being talked about is because there is no private capital available for the banks. When you see Bank of America trading at $5 a share or Citibank trading at $3 a share, it is very hard for those companies, even though they need the capital, to go out and sell capital in the capital markets, the private capital markets, at such low share prices. It would dilute their existing shareholder base so dramatically that going to the government is much more palatable than it would be normally.
Well, when they talk about nationalizing the banks, what are they talking about? They're not talking about making banks into subsidiaries of FDIC or whatever, are they? I mean, are they talking about leaving them as, is it sort of a fascist nationalization? I mean, it wouldn't be so much socialism, but they would stay as at least ostensibly private institutions with all the board and the executive still doing very well. But just with the taxpayer on the hook for everything? Or what do they mean by nationalization?
I think what they're talking about, of course, the initial TARP was essentially designed when it was first talked about to buy toxic assets from the balance sheets. Well, they quickly determined that was too big a task. It took them all of a week to change that strategy, and then Hank Paulson decided, well, we're going to buy equity stakes in the banks through preferred shares at very attractive rates. The federal government would buy preferred stock, receive a 5% dividend, and that's pretty cheap capital as banks go. Now the debate is, does the government buy preferred shares, or do they go in and actually buy common shares? And if they're common shareholders, then that is essentially they get voting rights, and that's when the nationalization would come in. So some people believe there's already essentially a de facto nationalization. I think the new president has said that any companies that take money from the federal government will be held accountable. The executives will be held accountable. I think you'll see restrictions, and there already are, on salaries, bonuses, dividend payouts, and essentially that is a nationalization. The government will dictate how those businesses are run, and in the case of banks, they're going to dictate who gets money, who gets loans, and who banks do business with.
Of course, we have a similar situation in France. Some of the big banks that look to be private, but of course they're not actually private. And this is all true over Latin America too. And sometimes you would get the impression that the government is reluctant to do this sort of thing. Well, it's just sort of the last straw to save the world. But of course, as we know, they're continuously hungry to take for power and for control. And it struck me that this is actually the way they'd like to do the whole economy, or certainly the commanding heights of the economy.
Well, it's certainly the next step. The government already controls the money creation. They already control central banking, and so the next step would be to control the banks. And of course, the banks are very useful in buying up government debt, creating money out of nowhere, paying for wars, paying for government programs. And so having the bankers and having the banks as part of the government regime certainly is helpful to their cause.
Well, you know, aside from, of course, just the increase in state power that this represents, and it's, you know, another one of the alarming steps that we've seen ever since 9/11, although I guess we can say any date in the last couple hundred years, been alarming steps ever since that date, since the government just keeps growing and growing. But even from their own standpoint, can they actually do this? I mean, can they actually, given political realities in terms of how much money they would have to create, in terms of the increasing depths of this depression, I mean, can they actually carry this out? We also know that, of course, they're entirely incompetent, maybe except at bombing people. They seem in a taxation. They seemed, unfortunately, to be not too bad at those things. But otherwise, they're something of a joke. Is this the end?
Well, I think that they could be limited in the sense that I know there's discussions in Europe as they began to try to nationalize in the UK and other parts of Europe that it's affecting the credit rating of those countries. And the question would be, in the United States, could United States debt, always typically rated by the ratings agencies, AAA, could so much money have to be created, so much debt have to be taken on to save the banking system, that they essentially lower the ratings of United States debt? And that's a very real possibility, because the hole is so big to try to fill given the meltdown in the banking industry.
I mean, I know, for example, to take the case of Ireland, I've heard that one of the problems they're facing, of course, they have exactly the UK and had the same crazy boom and all that business, but the size of the Irish banks is so gigantic as compared to the size of the Irish state that they actually feel they can't do it. They can't actually just nationalize all the banks.
That's happened in Europe, exactly, and actually in a couple of cases, two or three countries have had to go together to save a particular bank. Because the banks are so much larger in relation to individual governments. That's not necessarily the case in the United States, but again, the banking industry is so widespread. There's over 8,000 banks in the United States. Some of them are very, very large, and so it would take tremendous amount of money creation to essentially nationalize these banks.
And then, of course, unlike these other countries too, the United States has the world reserve currency, and the importance of the dollar in that role, very important for the empire. Sometimes I think the reason they continue to occupy Germany and England and Japan and all these countries so many years after World War II is to encourage them to buy the debt and to obey them otherwise financially. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Is the growth of government driving you crazy? Is it frustrating you that you can't do anything about it? Now you can. Join the Free State Project. Move to New Hampshire and get active with other liberty activists who have already slowed the growth of government in New Hampshire. Go to freestateproject.org.
If the credit rating of U.S. sovereign debt starts to decline, if the dollar starts to lose its value even as against other fiat currencies, can they actually carry it out, or is it possible we're seeing, in some sense, the end of the whole empire?
Well, I think that's exactly right. It could be the end of the whole empire, and this is when that reserve currency essentially goes away. Now, the other argument on the other side is this is happening all over the world. So is the United States is certainly not an anomaly. This asset meltdown has happened all over the world, whether it be in Europe, Asia, Middle East, all over the world. So the banking systems everywhere are in considerable trouble. So it may keep the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency, but it's interesting. Mark Fauber said in Barron's a couple of weeks ago that he urged everybody, in the very long run, each citizen must become his own central bank. Every responsible citizen must hold some physical gold, platinum, and silver physically and not through derivatives. So I think that says a lot, is that individual investors need to be their own central bank. They need to take care of themselves and not necessarily trust the banking systems anywhere in the world.
Well, that seems to me very good advice. And this is, of course, the kind of the advice that Bert Blumert, for example, has been giving for so many years, and I guess to good effect with so many thousands of people. There are those who think that every citizen ought to be sure to own a gun, too, as well as some gold.
Yeah, possibly some stored up canned goods. As paper money becomes more prevalent, if we look at Zimbabwe and what's happened there, there was a country that was incredibly rich in natural resources, was considered the breadbasket of Africa. And after their incredible monetary inflation, now, you know, they've had to, finding food becomes very scarce. So as governments begin to print more and more money, less and less real goods that you need day to day begin to appear. And so people need to be very vigilant.
I have a friend who now passed away, who was a farmer in the Central Valley of California, and who at one point considered buying some farmland in what was then Rhodesia before it became Zimbabwe. He decided against it for political reasons, but he said it was the most extraordinary soil he'd ever encountered anywhere in the world, 16 feet of volcanic topsoil. He said the most lush, the most productive farmland, so far as he knew, in the entire world. But of course, the government is able to make that, so people are starving.
I don't think people realize the destructive power of inflation and how you can turn a great area of the world like Rhodesia or Zimbabwe, however you want to view it. But it's amazing that governments can just wreck this with their policies of inflation, and certainly that's what's being done in varying degrees all over the world.
It's interesting how Keynesian policies seem to require more Keynesian policies, at least by the standards of the government. But Keynes wanted a world central bank and world inflation in order to make sure that nobody could escape, that there wouldn't be any competitive currencies that wouldn't be inflating as much. So does it look as if we're really facing that in this last business cycle, the central banks of the world, especially, of course, the Federal Reserve, have brought in a situation where there's going to be global inflation of a sort that we've never seen in the history of humankind?
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. I mean, certainly in the short term, there is some deflation going on in terms of asset prices, and thus you have the debt problems. But the U.S. Central Bank has tripled its balance sheet. All the seeds are being put in place for tremendous inflation around the world. We're suddenly seeing pictures of Keynes in the Wall Street Journal and other publications. So the fix to Keynesianism is more Keynesianism. And certainly it's exactly the opposite. We should be going back to hard money, teachings of Ludwig von Mises, Murray Rothbard, but instead we're getting more and more Keynesianism and essentially, our new president certainly seems to be embracing that idea.
Doug, if all of a sudden the people in Washington and the Fed were to give up their power lust and their greed for other people's money and decided they wanted to do the right thing, decided to read Mises and Rothbard, what can they do? What would they do? What should they do?
Well, the books to read for people who want to understand what's going on, and I know a lot of people don't really understand banking and how fractionalized banking and fiat currency wrecks an economy, or how it's really put into place. But they should really read Murray Rothbard's The Mystery of Banking, another book of his, What Has Government Done to Our Money? There's Murray and von Mises certainly showed the way with their writings. It's been out there for many years. The Mises Institute works very hard to make those books available, and people should read them so that they can know what's going on and be prepared.
Doug, thank you. And take a look at both those books on Mises.org. That's The Mystery of Banking, which Doug was the great benefactor to help bring that book back into print, by the way. Take a look at also at Murray's What Has Government Done to Our Money? There, you can read them both for free online. The physical copies, which, of course, there's no substitute for, are very inexpensive. And especially they're inexpensive in considering what's happening in the world and how important it is for all of us to understand what's happening, why it doesn't need to happen. Doug French, thanks so much for coming on this morning.
Thank you, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.